Thank you, Susan, for playing the piano. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we're just looking at verses, I'm going to start in verse 24, so we'll be looking at verses 24 through 31, even though we covered verses 24 and 25 last week, but it'll give us a setting for the verses we're looking at regarding doubting Thomas. If you do much reading, you've often come to the end of a book and you get a chapter called the epilogue. The epilogue is a short addition or concluding section at the end of a literary work, often dealing with the future of its characters. I bring that up because the passage we're looking at in John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31, this is not the epilogue, but everything after this is the epilogue in the Gospel of John. This section of verses that we are looking at is everything that John has been moving towards. Everything that's been recorded here culminates or climaxes in this section of verses, John's recorded testimony of Jesus Christ. We are at the pinnacle of everything John has been building towards as he has recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious finale, the doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas is the disciple we see at the culmination of everything John has been building towards, and I think as we go through the passage, you'll see why. Let's start with our first point in verses 24 and 25. We'll begin with a little bit of history about Thomas. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." The first appearance of Jesus to his disciples. Remember, as the two on the road to Emmaus returned saying, "We've seen the Lord." And the disciples were saying, "Peter's seen the Lord, and the women have seen the Lord." And then Jesus appeared to all of them. Thomas wasn't at that first appearance of Jesus to all his disciples. He was the one missing. Thomas here is described as a twin. I'm a little curious about his twin. We don't read anything about him. Where was he? Did he end up being a believer? You know, we don't know anything. I'm curious. We don't know anything, so I can't go any further on that other than to say I'm curious. But Thomas is apparently a twin. He's mentioned a couple other times in John's gospel. In John chapter 11 and verse 16, and this is the passage where Jesus says, we're going to go back into Judea because Lazarus is sick. And in John 11, 16, we hear from Thomas, again, who is called the twin, and he said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." They were asking, why are you going to go to Judea? They wanted to stone you there. And that's Thomas. Thomas, his reaction, "Well, let's go. We'll go." He's loyal. He's courageous. Well, but he's a little bit of an Eeyore. "Well, we'll go along and we'll die." Right? It's kind of similar to the other time we read about him. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Why don't we go back there? I'm going to read a few of the verses. Very familiar verses, encouraging. I'm just going to start at verse 1. This is Jesus teaching. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Here, enter Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Here you go again. Well, we're going to get lost. We don't know where you're going. There's no way we know the way. And Jesus, of course, patiently explains it. He seems to be always questioning, you know, are you sure this is the right direction? Should we go back to Judea? We're going to die. Jesus, you're going away. We're never going to find you again. There's no way we can know the way or where you are going. And now here might also be the pinnacle, the peak of our understanding or the incidents we read of Thomas. And I don't mean to, Thomas is a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's just these three instances where we see him. He always seems to be a little bit on the negative side, but he's faithful. He's willing to go and die with Jesus. He apparently wanted to know how we can go where you are going, Jesus, and how we can know the way. So he is a faithful disciple. He didn't run away. He's still with the disciples in our passage. But we see here his unbelief, verse 25 in John chapter 20. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. We see here Thomas says, I'm not going to believe. You're seeing a ghost. You guys are hallucinating because of who knows what. Maybe your excessive grief and sorrow. I don't know. But he says, I will not believe. Who's he not believing? Mary Magdalene, who saw Jesus, who spoke with him, worshiped at his feet, the other women who saw Jesus also, the two on the road to Emmaus who walked with Jesus. He explained the scriptures to him, revealed himself as he was breaking bread. Peter, we know Peter had already seen Jesus. We aren't told at all about that incident except that Peter saw Jesus by this time. The 10 other disciples, he appeared in the midst of them. He's not believing, it seems like to me, everybody. He said, I will not believe unless I see. And this is, we're talking here about specific revelation. In our adult Sunday school class, we went through general revelation and specific revelation. And there's a general revelation we see in Romans 1 that from creation, from our conscience, we can see and we can know about that there is an invisible, powerful, divine God. There is a God. The resurrection, you can't know that from creation. You need God to specifically reveal that to you. And Jesus has been doing that. He has been showing himself risen from the dead. And this is what Thomas is rejecting. He's rejecting the testimony of those who were with Jesus, who God is using to tell us even today that Jesus is risen from the dead. The resurrection must be revealed, and Thomas is saying, I want it revealed to me. I'm not going to trust what everyone else is saying. Verse 26. Our gracious Lord Jesus, even in Thomas's unbelief, after 8 days. All right, so Jesus, you need to note here, Jesus did not just hang out with the disciples for 40 days until he ascended. He didn't just spend all his time. We have the resurrection day, that Sunday. That's when he appeared to all these people. And then now we're 8 days later. They haven't seen him again. He's been gone. So we're 8 days now, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. I think they're still in Jerusalem, and Thomas with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Very similar to his last appearance to the disciples. The doors were shut. We see just evidence here of Jesus' divinity, his glorified body. He has this 8-day delay. They're in a closed room, and all of a sudden, he's there in the middle of them. He appeared in the midst of them with closed doors. He didn't open the door and come in. He didn't wander in and say, "Oh, hey, you know, welcome to the meeting." He was just there. All of a sudden, they could see him. He appeared in the midst of them. And we're going to see here in verse 27 that he knew what Thomas had said to the rest of the disciples. Even though they hadn't seen him since that resurrection day, the resurrection night, I should say, when he appeared in the midst of all the disciples, he knew that when they reported to Thomas, he knew exactly what Jesus had said. Because he says in verse 27, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" That means he knew exactly what Thomas said about, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas is saying, "I want to see a resurrection body that I can touch and I can see the evidence. This is Jesus who was crucified." And Jesus knew exactly what Thomas had said. Again, these just a couple of clues to Jesus and who he was. His ability to just appear in the midst of them and knowing what Thomas had said. And look at Jesus' greeting. "Peace to you." This is why Jesus came. From the announcement of his birth by the angels to the shepherds, what was the message? On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. This is why Jesus came. To make peace between God and men, to make it possible for man through his sacrifice to have peace with God, their sins forgiven, the righteousness of God himself, Jesus himself, credited to their account. This is the gospel. And Jesus here gives that same greeting, his purpose in coming, "Peace to you." The wonderful truth of Jesus Christ is that he came to make peace with God on our behalf, if we'll believe. And then in verse 27, we see his kindness to Thomas. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Now, Thomas wasn't alone in unbelief. Remember, Jesus was critical of the rest of the disciples for not believing the women and Mary, and he had said, "You know, why aren't you believing these other witnesses?" So Thomas wasn't alone, but he was certainly the strongest in his unbelief. And Jesus very kindly shows him in patience and gentleness. Come here. Put your fingers. Check my side. I know you wanted to see, and here you go. The one thing I want to note, and this is part of the reason I think this is in here, is not everybody gets what Thomas got here. I think Jesus did this for our benefit as well as Thomas. Not everybody gets Paul where he's on the road and he gets a vision of Christ and the bright light, and even the people around him saw something and heard something. Not everybody gets that. Thomas was especially blessed here with his kindness, with the kindness of Jesus, but it is not only for Thomas' benefit, but for our benefit. We see Thomas' response in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." He perfectly and very succinctly testifies, pronounces who Jesus is. He says, "You are my Lord." Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When we look at Thomas's belief, we see the content of his belief. It starts with that Jesus was his Lord. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching, and I'm going to start reading. We're going to cut into the middle of his sermon in verse 22. And Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Why? For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence.'" That was written by David. And Peter's going to talk about David. He's going to explain now. That was written by David, but not about David. Verse 29, Peter explains, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ," or the Messiah, "that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witness." We know David was writing about the Messiah, and he was writing about Jesus. They are one and the same, because David's still in his tomb. We have him here to this day. But Jesus has been raised. He has fulfilled what David wrote in this psalm. Verse 33, we are all witnesses of this. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. Remember, they're preaching, and they're preaching in everybody's languages that they hadn't learned. So he sees that the Father has poured this Spirit out on them, and they can see the evidence of that by how they're preaching. Verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens. All right? Again, David's not only still in his tomb, David didn't ascend to the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is what Thomas was acknowledging. My Lord and my God, this is the one. Jesus is the one that God has raised from the dead, both Messiah and Lord. Peter would later preach about what Thomas, the same theme as to what Thomas is acknowledging here. He said, not only my Lord, he said, my God. Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, I'm pretty sure I read this last week, but these two verses say, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Did you catch that? Concerning Jesus Christ, he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but he was declared to be God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Thomas caught that. He is God, and this his resurrection, and I've touched the nails, and his resurrection testifies of that. I think this is, by the way, just for an extra note, that verse I just read in Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, I believe that's what it's referring to in 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says Jesus was justified or vindicated in the Spirit. The Spirit testified through the resurrection from the dead that Jesus was God. We also see it in Romans 1:4. He was declared the Son of God with power by this resurrection. So this is Thomas' profession as he sees Jesus for himself, and Jesus accepts and confirms Thomas' profession of belief in him. We see this in verse 29, if you go back to John chapter 20, because Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. He confirms to Thomas, you have believed in everything about me, that I am your Lord, I am the Messiah, I am your God, I am alive, I have risen from the dead. So Jesus confirms that he has believed. He accepts Thomas's profession as faith unto salvation. He goes on to say others are going to believe with less. Jesus said to him, again, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus accepts Thomas' belief. He saw. He is the Lord. He accepts what Thomas said. Jesus accepts that he is the Lord and he is God. And he accepts it as faith unto salvation. He says, you have believed, others are going to believe with less. Sometimes we think of this, and it is a criticism, I think, on Thomas that he didn't believe with less. But it was necessary that some saw Jesus risen from the dead, or we wouldn't have anything to believe. Jesus appeared to these, the women, to Mary, to Peter, to the disciples, to Thomas. They are necessary witnesses for our faith 2,000 years later. We believe those to whom God chose to reveal and record their experience in seeing the risen Christ. Jesus appeared to Thomas and the others for our benefit so that we could believe their word. And this is what he says in verse 29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So we see that Thomas, he began, I will not believe unless I see. Jesus graciously shows himself to Thomas. Thomas sees and believes. And now he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. This is talking about us. This is talking about all those who came after the disciples or were not a part of the groups. We know in Acts chapter 15, it says that he appeared to as many as 500 at one time. I think we're coming up to that. It might have been when he was on the mountain in Galilee. But up to 500 at one time saw Jesus. But these are our witnesses. Verse 30, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That you may believe the same thing Thomas professed, believed and professed here as he finally saw Jesus in person. These things are written. You'll see the third point is read and believe. These things are written. John is writing these things for those who would be blessed later for not seeing Jesus, but believing the testimony of the witnesses, those who did see Jesus. This is the entire point of the Gospel of John. It is written so that even if you don't get to touch the nail holes, even if you don't get to put your hand in Jesus' side like Thomas did, that you would believe the testimony of John and as he records these witnesses, that you would believe their testimony and believe in Jesus. In Romans 4, verses 24 and 25, we read this, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. What sent Jesus to the cross? Our offenses. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was because the work was completed and we could be justified through him. Our justification was complete. The work was finished. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whom having seen, you love. Talking about Jesus, obviously. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, two verses that talk about those who haven't seen but believe, the witnesses, the testimony like John's of what occurred. We are saved, we rejoice, we are blessed. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This Gospel of John culminates, this is all written so that we, like Thomas, would believe, even without seeing. It's everything he's been working towards, testifying of the love and the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of our Almighty God shown in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can be blessed in believing it. We can be accepted by God just as Thomas was. We can be empowered and indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit. A special blessing to those who have not seen and believed, those in the church age. And so we see here, he culminates with Thomas, says, believe the testimony of doubting Thomas. You may still be wondering, why his example of all things? I think it's for a deliberate reason. Thomas was the biggest skeptic. I won't believe unless I can touch the nails in his hands. And Thomas, as the biggest skeptic, saw Jesus touch the nails in his hands. And if Thomas believes he's risen from the dead, the biggest skeptic, then you can know he must be risen from the dead, because this guy was, he was hard to please. He wasn't going to buy it. And it's not just a spirit, it's not just a hallucination, because Thomas was having none of that. He was a skeptic, but he believed. He touched the nails. He's put there for us. If Thomas says he's risen from the dead, you better believe he's risen from the dead. Because he's not just a pushover. He's not just going to go with the flow. Jesus showed himself to the worst skeptic. Again, not a testimony necessarily to Thomas's faith, but a benefit to us. Because we know if Thomas believed, Jesus had to be standing there and Thomas touching the very parts, the nails and the side that he said. And so John, through the Spirit of God, recorded this entire written testimony of Jesus Christ so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and so that believing we might have eternal life through his name. Everything John has been working towards in these few verses. This is the whole point. And if you have read the Gospel of John and you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and your God, then this book is completely wasted on you. You've missed the entire point. And you have to ask, what's holding you back? Are you a skeptic? Well, trust the biggest skeptic. He said Jesus is risen from the dead. What's holding you back? This is why this gospel was written, that you might believe. And that believing in Jesus, you might have life through his name. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6 say this, God, our Savior, is the one, and now I'm going to quote the verse, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. God, our Savior, desires you to believe what Thomas believed, what John wrote about, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you can be saved through him. I hope you'll do that if you haven't. I don't know who hasn't, but if you're holding out, if you've never called out to the Lord and said, I, like Thomas, I believe in your Son as my Lord and my God, my Savior. And for us, if you're a believer, the focus of John's book should be our focus. The focus of why we are left on this earth with people who do not believe is because they need to hear our testimony of Jesus Christ. They need us pointing them to the Gospel of John and to the Scriptures and to what Thomas saw. The reason that we interact with people who don't believe, why we want to be friends and have fellowship and encourage them and talk with them, is not just so we can enjoy their company. It is because we want them to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus would be their Lord and their God. It's not to just get along, to have a smooth life. It's not to enjoy time together here on the earth. It's not to just be a good example. It is so that they would believe, as John said, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing they might have life through his name. God has chosen us to be a testimony. Even Thomas in his doubting is a testimony of the risen Christ, his Lord and his God, and we too need to be that testimony. This is the truth upon which every interaction of ours with those who don't know should be consumed. This is our focus. This should be the pinnacle of our communication as well. May everyone, this should be our desire, that everyone would glorify God by believing and repeating Thomas's words, "My Lord and my God," his words about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Lord, we are confident because of the testimony in your word which you preserve for us, that we too will in person see our risen Savior. Like Job said, we will in our flesh see God. We're going to see Jesus. We trust, even though we haven't seen, we trust the witness of Thomas. We trust the witness of John, these other disciples, these women. Your Son was raised from the dead in great power. He's ascended. He's at your right hand. He's the mediator. Even of these prayers, we're going to pray. We're talking to you in his name. He's the one who made it possible. And we believe that. We love you for your kindness and your salvation. We rejoice in our risen Lord and God, Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never trusted Christ as Savior, please, Lord, just help them to understand. Help them to see your kindness, your desire for them to believe and be saved, Lord, that they would call out to you in faith in your Son for salvation from their sins. We thank you for the glorious gospel, and we pray it in our resurrected Lord Jesus' name. Amen.